Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
That's right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. I'm Mitch and I'm here tonight with Andy because Sonia's currently sick fighting crime with Batman. Tonight's a Batman episode, so if anyone's a Batman fan, this is tonight. We'll be talking about the timeline of Batman, beginning with 1940 comics to Batman today, which is the Dark Knight movies, and even some a little bit of the sidekicks, so Batgirl, Robin, and yeah, like the comic origins and things like that. How are you going tonight, Andy?
I'm great, mate. Mitch, how are you?
Good. I think we really have to start tonight with the original theme from Batman.
Oh yes.
What do you think of that?
Let's do it.
Hi.
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 Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
From 10 p.m.
to 11 p.m. on
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Join us.
That really says something about the series. I really love the 1960s series. I think we should really jump into this with the comics. Starting in 1940, Batman's comics were among those criticized in the comic book industry under scrutiny of the publication by the psychologist Frederick Wortham. If anyone's heard of this, this was the psychiatrist that released a book about violence in comic books and things like this. He pretty much said that the comic books were causing kids to go out and cause crime and start stealing things, and also homosexual behavior in the society. So it's a really fascinating subject. Did you read many of the books, Andy?
Yeah, I've read a lot of the Batman comic books.
The Batman comic books?
Yeah, mostly from the last 12 months, but I've gone way back to the beginnings and everywhere in between. So yeah.
What was one of your favourites from the series?
From the comic book series?
Comic books, yeah.
Oh, well, I'd have to say when Dick Grayson took over the Bat Cowl from Batman, when he was assumed to be dead, but he wasn't actually dead. He was off beginning Batman Incorporated, but that's another story altogether.
Looking at some of the facts about the Batman comics, Wortham's thesis was that children imitated crimes committed in the comic book, so pretty much started doing crime and things like this. After that, the 1950s comics became more focused on the development of detective work and things like this.
Detective comics, yeah.
And in the late 1950s, the Batman stories gradually became more science fiction orientated, in an attempt at mimicking the success of other DC characters. So yeah. I think that's a really interesting thing as well. I heard they were going to scrap, actually, the Batman comic, like Batman from DC Comics.
Oh, no, that'll never happen, because if there's no Batman at DC, there will be no DC.
I mean, in the 1950s.
In the 50s, yeah, back in the 50s, yes.
Have you ever heard any rumors about this, like they were going to
yes,
scrap Batman?
Yes, it was. Yeah, there was, basically because they thought that the comics were making the kids gay or encouraging them to be gay, because, you know, there was a panel in one of the comic books where Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson, Batman and Robin, were in bed together. They'd just woken up and, you know, let's go and have a hot breakfast and a cold shower.
I think that's also why they added Batwoman later on in the series,
yeah,
instead of Robin.
Batwoman was introduced for Batman to, you know, take away all the gay innuendo, and Batgirl was brought in for Robin. So, you know, a couple of beards.
And Catwoman as well. She's very interesting character that's throughout the series.
She is. She's kind of on both sides of the fence. She, you know, commits crime, but she also looks out for the underdog, and she's always had a soft spot for Batman, and they actually have a daughter together. So there's something that not everybody knows about Batman and
Catwoman.
They
have a daughter together?
They do have a daughter together.
What did they... Tell me more about this. Like, what happened?
Well, as we all know, those of us that have watched Batman Returns with, you know, Catwoman and Batman, they alluded to a romance, but within the comic books, Batman and Catwoman did actually get together, and they have a daughter who's now the Huntress, and she goes off and fights crime, kind of a cross between Batman and Catwoman in her costume. You
That's
know.
Really cool.
It is.
I'm going to try and find a picture and post that on Facebook later tonight.
Oh,
the Huntress.
Yeah, everyone needs to know about the Huntress.
Does she have wings or anything?
No, she just...
Just money. Just, lots and lots of money.
Just a cape and a cowl and, yeah, kind of like her dad.
Kind of like her dad.
Kind of like her dad.
And so for anyone who doesn't know, Batman is a very wealthy man who lost his parents at a young age and then swore to fight crime in Gotham City.
That's right.
With his billions of dollars and with, like, really cool gadgets and bat guns, bat pepper spray, bat...
Yeah.
Everything. Well, everything you can think of.
He chose the bat icon because that was the thing he was most afraid of. And he figured that if he could overcome his fear of bats, then you know, he could use that to fight crime and, you know, spark fear into the hearts of the criminals. So
I thought it was because he couldn't see very well. He had really short eyesight.
No,
I was wrong.
He's one of the most super non-superhumans. So
coming up later in the evening, we do have the news, and we also have some music from Prince. And we'll be talking more about 1960s Adam West, Batman movies, and we also have music from The Dark Knight later in. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Sci-Fi and Squeamish news for Tuesday, the 17th of July, 2012. And here is the Sci-Fi and Squeamish news. I'm not usually the person that does it because all the women are away, but I'm still quite feminine.
If you say so.
Some truly massive blockbusters were featured in San Diego's Comic-Con this week. It was held last week from the 11th to the 15th of July. And so the blockbuster none of them could compete with was the epic scale was Peter Jackson's The Hobbit. In addition to bringing out Martin Freeman, Andy Serkis, Richard Armitage, Ian Kellen, Elijah Wood, and Philip Boyens, Jackson also brought out more footage than any other film, delivering a grand total of over 12 and a half minutes. The footage was shown at the standard 24 frames per second rather than 48 frames per second that the film was shot in. It was also wasn't in 3D. This is perhaps due to the negative reaction to footage that was shown a few months back, when the reception was barely lukewarm. This time, the reaction was quite different, and all reports indicate The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, is going to be the hit Jackson has bet on. It hits theaters on December 14th, and its sequel, The Hobbit, There and Back Again, will arrive on December 15th. A pre-Christmas treat for some audiences, but appears to us here in Oz that it won't be released until the 26th of December. We will keep you posted on the development later in the year. It's like a second Hobbit breakfast in one sitting. Well, almost one sitting.
And appearing in The Age today, an article entitled "The Inner Demons Threaten Batman's Justice Quest." He has a butler, but no superpowers. He's a rich man with a lot of issues, a hero in spite of himself, and that's the burden and the strange attraction of Bruce Wayne, aka Batman. Christian Bale, whose final outing, The Dark Knight Rises, the last in a trilogy from writer and director Christopher Nolan, opens this week in cinemas around the world. After the deadpan, debonair charms of Adam West in the 60s TV show, there have been other men behind the mask on screen. Between 1989 and 1997, Batman has been played by Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer and George Clooney, but Bale seemed to have the right kind of flawed gravitas for Nolan. And there are many good reasons to look forward to Batman's last stand, The Dark Knight Rises, with a story that begins 8 years after the events of the previous film. And let's hope his opponents are worthy. Anne Hathaway as the enigmatic Selina Kyle, aka Catwoman. Tom Hardy as Bane, the man who wants to destroy Gotham City. Bring on the apocalypse.
Ant-Man may be a lesser-known character in the Marvel Universe, but not for much longer. Again, during Comic-Con last weekend, Marvel teased tested footage from a cult favorite. It looks like director Edgar Wright may have an honor for bringing Ant-Man to the big screen. Listeners may remember that Edgar Wright was the genius behind films such as Shaun of the Dead and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Wright teased he has the Terrence Malick approach to superhero movies before screening a reel from an unfinished test. In the clip, Ant-Man was seen fighting two men in a hallway, huffing Ton Po sauce on the scene described as clearly in early stages of production. Ant-Man will kick your ass 1 inch at a time, Wright concluded. No one has currently been cast. The news follows years of speculation. In the Marvel Universe, Ant-Man is the superhero alter ego of scientist Henry Pham, who creates a formula that shrinks him down to the size of an ant, along with his girlfriend, Janet Van Dyne, who later becomes the Wasp. And Ant-Man helped form the Avengers in the comic books. And this is it from the Huffington Post online.
And Wonder Woman in the Man of Steel, the Superman reboot? What's this you say? Well, it looks like things are in full swing over at Warner Brothers. As the studio gets ready to release The Dark Knight Rises, their attention is now turning towards Man of Steel, as well as their Justice League film. Hoping to copy Marvel's model, the studio is looking at how to establish their universe, and if what we're hearing is true, they may kick things off with a Wonder Woman cameo in Man of Steel. Now, before you get on your soapbox and start shouting out this ultra-exciting news to anyone that will listen, listen you. This report is originating from Comic Book Movie, who claim that Warner Brothers is hoping to reveal plans for their movie universe later this month. The report goes on to say that the studio will use Man of Steel to drop hints that Superman is in a shared universe with his DC counterparts, kind of like Marvel. The studio is hoping that if Man of Steel takes off, these references can be used as a springboard to launch either solo films for the heroes or the Justice League film. Now, there's two things to consider here. First, who will the studio choose to play Wonder Woman? Should they go for a big name, an unknown, or someone in the middle? Of course, I'm sure a lot of that will depend on how audiences react to Henry Cavill as Superman, though I'm sure things will go just fine with regards to that. The studio and Zack Snyder seem pretty confident in him. Plus, he's already had one semi-big role when he starred in last year's Immortals. Another thing to point out is that it's still possible for Wonder Woman to actually appear in the film, even if she hasn't been cast. All that being said, it's important to remember that right now, this is all up in the air. Nothing is concrete. Sources are never 100%, and for all we know, Man of Steel may land in theatres without any references at all. According to Snyder, a slightly shorter teaser will play before The Dark Knight Rises, out July 20, as its director Christopher Nolan produced Man of Steel. Man of Steel also stars Russell Crowe as Jor-El, Superman's biological father, and Amy Adams as Lois Lane. That news tidbit is taken from celebbuzz.com.
Now I think we should go to a bit of a track. We have a really good track from Prince, which was, I think, The Batman.
The Bat Dance.
The Bat Dance. But what movie was this from?
Oh, it's from Batman 1989.
1989. So Prince made this song for... the Joker, who's like running down the street throwing money at people.
Yes, Jack Nicholson's Joker. That's right.
And spray painting. I think
spray painting and breaking all the art.
Yeah, I think he ends up just killing everybody.
He gasses everybody. He doesn't actually kill them, but he gets.
I just remember green smoke. Lots of green.
Kim Basinger got the mask. There you go.
And so this is Prince with the Bat Dance.
Yeah.
Here on Sci-Fi and Scream, Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is the fabulous Adam Richard on Sci-Fi and Scream! No, I'm not scary. No. I'm sorry.
That was fab, definitely.
That's right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. For anyone just tuning in, we're talking about Batman tonight. The origins of Batman, Batman where it's going and where it has been, I guess. And that was Sonia's voice, sadly, who's not here tonight. We miss you, Sonia.
We do.
I'm just going to start this off with a lovely Batman fact. Well, it's mainly about Robin, because yes. I have the biggest crush on Robin.
You do.
This is like a little bit of gossip from Superman. Post-crisis, there is a different originator of the Nightwing identity. For anyone who's unsure, Nightwing is actually Robin when he grows up. He becomes a superhero named Nightwing.
That's right, Dick Grayson's Robin, yep.
700 years before the birth of Kal-El, there was an unnamed Krypton man who was cast out from his family and decided to take on crime as the vigilante Nightwing. When Superman tells Dick Grayson of this story, Dick takes the name for himself. So Dick Grayson being Robin, and he takes the name of Nightwing for himself. So good work, Dick. Good work. And I think we should just welcome Dean Akuri into the studio. Welcome, Dean.
Hello. How are we going, guys?
Hey, Dean. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome.
Did I say your last name right?
Akuri. You said it right.
Akuri.
Yeah?
Cool. That's really right. Cool. Now, I have a special sound for you. I have a really special sound for you, Dean.
I'm excited.
Because we're about to talk about the Batman in the 1960s.
My favourite.
Your favourite. And everyone really likes the Batman, Adam West.
Yep.
And I loved him. I personally like him because of his very like monotone voice.
It's quite sexy, isn't it?
Let's listen to what he has to say.
You filthy criminals. Surrender! You criminals! You abominable outlaws. You filthy criminals.
I love that.
I love that too. Good work, Adam. You know, you tell them where they are and what they're... You tell them, Adam. You put them
You put them in their place. You put them in their place hard.
You downright criminals.
He was fantastic.
He was a really, really good Batman, I think. And that Robin, that was my favourite Robin of all.
Oh, Burt Ward.
He didn't
quite have the butt for it, though.
I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember.
You weren't there.
So, the Batman television series starring Adam West premiered in January 1966 on the ABC television network. Inflicted with a camp sense of humour, the show became a pop culture phenomenon. In his memoir, Back to the Batcave, West notes his dislike for the term camp as it was applied to the 1960s series, opinioning that the show was instead a farce or lampoon, and a deliberate one at that. So he thought it was a farce or lampoon. Like, you tell him, Adam West. The series
so many Adams to get confused, isn't it?
Too many Adams. Yes. The series ran for 120 episodes, ending in 1968. In between the first and second season of the Batman television series, the cast and crew made the theatrical release Batman 1966. The Kinks performed the theme song from the Batman series in the 1967 album Live at Calvin Hall. The popularity of the Batman TV series also resulted in the first animated adaptation of Batman in the series, The Batman Superman Hour. Batman's first animation series was with, in fact, Superman.
Whose t-shirt you know wearing?
I'm wearing a Superman shirt, and Andy is actually wearing a Batman shirt.
Yeah,
awesome. I've just come from hosting a geek trivia, so I'm in braces. That's what I've got.
I wear braces all the time. I've got braces
on your mat.
Different type
on your
of
teeth.
Braces. Yeah. And so that was the TV series, which also had a host of really great Catwoman.
It did, didn't it?
Like Eartha Kitt.
Lee Merriweather.
Do you have a favourite, though? I can honestly say I could never put my finger on which one I loved more because they all brought something very different to the role.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which was great.
I really liked Eartha Kitt. She was my favourite.
She was what just the way she spoke. It was so sexy.
She took it with her after
and
the
it was so fantastic. Like,
show.
I mean, how many years? What year did you say that started?
1966.
So it was only 2 years.
To 86.
I mean, to think all of that was only 2 years. They made so many episodes, and it was just fantastic.
Mm. Yep. That is really awesome. Like, and it made such an effect as well on the society, I think, of the era. Like, it made such an effect, like, especially with the powers. Like,
yeah.
I think that noise haunts everyone.
It's like, true. And it was like a play. Like, I think what was awesome with the ridiculous surrealness of it was it was almost like you were watching a little stage play just on the telly, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. I think we should move on to 1989 with Batman the movie. In 1989, Batman returned to the movie theaters in director Tim Burton Batman, starring Michael Keaton as the title character. The film was a huge success. Not only was it the top grossing film of the year, but the time was the fifth highest grossing film in history.
Wow.
So
did not know that.
And Prince totally made a song for it.
And that was fantastic. Like, the film clip was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the Joker in that one? It was
Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Vicky Vale was played by
Kim Basinger.
Yes.
Yep.
Kim Basinger.
I was about to say Barbara Hershey, but that's not.
Oh, right. No.
Andy, tell me about the scene in the cafe. Oh, no. What happens? He smokes everyone.
It was the museum/art gallery, and basically the waiter takes up a package to Vicky Vale, which has a message that says, put this on, and it's a mask. She puts the mask on, and then everyone else gets subsequently gassed. I don't know whether they died or
they
not.
Die.
They did die. Of course they died.
It's the genocide of the Joker. Yeah.
That was when the Joker went through and graffitied the whole art gallery to the tune of Prince's Bat Dance. You know,
that was fantastic.
It was so cool.
I think that's when my love of Tim Burton began.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just... It had such potential to not go well, and it was just such an awesome film.
It did.
Jack Nicholson was brilliant as the Joker.
He was. And then
he did a really good job.
He really did.
And I think, like, also the settings of the Gotham City, he really incorporated that Tim Burton.
The
like,
dark tones. I mean, as Tim Burton does.
The dark tones.
But it was. Like, it's just the darkness and the filth. You felt like you were watching something out of the pages of the comic.
Oh, yeah. And I actually heard that he was going to make a third one, but he had to go and make Edward Scissorhands, so he never had the time.
Which I go on. Can live with because he made two great ones.
He did.
As much as I have the other ones on DVD and like watching them, I don't like to talk about them as much.
No.
But Edward Scissorhands is awesome.
It was.
It is just fantastic. Mm. But it was just great.
It was.
Yeah.
Now, I'm actually going to go to a track. The track we played before was Prince Bat Dance from Batman movie.
Yes.
And now we're going to go to a track from Sexy... How do you say the name?
Susie and the Banshees.
Susie and the Banshees, Face to Face. And this is from Batman Returns.
Exactly.
So you kind of get a feel of what's coming up later in the evening. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
It's Sci-Fi and Scream, Jim, but not as we know it. On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday night from 10 p.m.
On Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and we're talking currently about... Batman. Now, we're currently going to go to Batman Forever, 1995. One second.
Batman Return,
Batman Forever.
Forever.
And what was the third one?
The Dark Knight. Batman and Robin, you mean?
Batman and Robin.
George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, yeah.
And that was in 1997, wasn't it?
That was 97,
Batman Returns was released in America on June 19th, 1992, earning $45.69 million in 2,644 theaters in its opening weekend. This was the highest opening weekend in 1992 and the highest opening weekend of any film up to that point. The film went on to gross $162.83 million in North America and $104 million in foreign countries, coming to a worldwide total of $266.83 million. Batman Returns was the third highest grossing film in America in 1992 and sixth highest in worldwide totals. Now, that's impressive, I really think.
We've just had an SMS message in from Pete from Darley and Bacchus Marsh, and he said, riddle me this and riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big bad bat?
Ah, that's really good. You like the Riddler.
Classic quote from, Batman Forever.
That was
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. He's funny.
So, Batman Returns was with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. Yes,
and
it was.
Do you remember Sean Young wanted the role, so she went on, I think, David Letterman dressed as Catwoman.
Oh,
yes. Hoping she would get it and just made a fool of herself.
She did. She killed it. And then...
I think she killed everything about herself by doing that one thing.
Danny DeVito was, of course, the Penguin. Oswald Cobblepot.
Which I thought would be terrible, and it was disturbingly fantastic.
You thought it was terrible?
Darkly, I thought it would be.
Oh, it was darkly delicious.
Yeah, I actually loved... Like, you know, he used to, like, pull out his umbrella and fire comes out. Like,
yes.
I still get freaked out when I see him, like, eating fish. Or...
Yeah, and the black saliva dribbling out the sides.
But it was still great because you felt... I thought what was interesting about that second film was you actually... Unlike the first one where you just wanted the Joker dead, you actually really felt sorry for the two villains.
You did.
You know, they were both victims. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Brilliantly cast.
And it was fantastically done.
It was.
Jim Burton again, of course. So.
Of like the Penguin and his umbrellas, he flew away on one.
He did. He had a umbrella copter.
Popped it out.
Yeah,
It was fantastic.
Those penguins, they're crazy with the technology.
They're sneaky buggers.
That was actually a mix of live penguins and animatronic penguins.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Because they couldn't always get the penguins to do what they needed to do.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
How well-trained can penguins be, really? Come on.
That's right.
And then in 1995, Batman Forever came out.
Yes, with Val Kilmer as Batman this time.
Nicole Kidman as well.
Yes.
Someone, like, I'm actually really proud that Nicole Kidman's in it.
I agree.
The Aussie connection.
I did love it. Yeah. It's like we're that one step closer to Batman.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, when Tim Burton exhibition came to Melbourne, like, Batman's outfit was there, and so it was the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman.
I think when Nicole Kidman was in that film was just when she finally stepped out of the frizzy hair stage.
With the BMX
of
band
her career. Let's face it, it's what made her in Hollywood, it kind of what's made her unique. But it was that film when she suddenly had it long and
she got the
curls
hair
at the bottom, and that's when Nicole's hair started to change, as did her career.
I have to say, her hair was really, really good.
Oh, she was sex bomb. She was Jessica Rabbit. Like, it was... wasn't great, but yeah, what can you do? Like, I think the film had such potential, it just got let down because of it wasn't in the vein of the past.
But then on the other side, speaking of sex bombs, you got Poison Ivy.
Oh, yes.
Uma Thurman didn't do it.
Unfortunately, as much as I enjoyed watching it, I think that was Batman and Robin, wasn't it? No. That was Batman Forever.
Batman. That was actually...
we've jumped around.
Oh, that's right. That was Two-Face and Riddler was...
Yeah, we've jumped off track.
We have whoopsie-daisy.
Step too far. In 1997, which one was that? Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin was released, and the storyline for that was, in Gotham City, Batman and Robin attempt to stop Mr. Freeze, who was Arnold Schwarzenegger...
He was, that's
...from
right.
stealing a bunch of diamonds in Gotham City, and Ivy was just kind of floating around there, hitting people that's and right. killing them, and just like, ho-ho-ho, I'm Ivy.
And that's where Poison Ivy came in. There we are.
Yeah, and that's who Poison Ivy is.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I got very confused really quickly.
Sorry, mate.
No, there's so many villains.
Yes.
On paper, the film actually, I don't mind the film. Like, it had so many big names. Arnold Schwarzenegger was tons of fun. Tone just shifted of the Batman films in such a massive way. And Poison Ivy, like, it just didn't...
Was this before or after he became mayor?
This was not way
before the mayor.
Way
of
before, way before
you
he became
mayor. The governor.
Like, a freeze is coming. To Gotham. I was working at Crown and at the time, and the previews for that were shown like 24/7. I could memorize the preview to that film. It drove me insane.
It was like the Terminator was in the Batman film.
and that's when the films just became a bit of a soap opera feel to them. There was too much. They became very 90s, and instead of being a specific style and tone of Gotham, and it just became really 90s and really fluoro, and there was too much being shoved in. And but I mean, it still made money, and it was still really great. I was disappointed that Uma didn't get the chance to really make Ivy as good as she could have, because there were too many character things going on. There were too many elements all over the place, and the grandiose set and lighting and costuming detracted from the character work that they were trying to do. In my opinion,
I kind of like the costume. So
I don't not like them. Like, I've got to stress this enough. I don't not like it. I do like it, but you've got to admit it did take away from, like, there's something that doesn't quite gel. There's so many different elements overlapping, and they don't interject well, and they don't play well with each other, which, you know, so everyone was doing the best that they could do, and it just didn't seem to blend.
Thinking of Batman and Robin, this was the first arrival of Batgirl.
Batgirl, yes. Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone. Batwoman's not been in a movie yet.
And so in the comic area, she was kind of like inputted to stop the homosexual...
She was
innuendos.
Put in as a female partner for Robin.
For Batman or for Robin?
For Robin.
Batgirl, not Batwoman. Okay,
Batwoman.
Bloody DC and their confusion.
I know. Crossover.
And then she later on becomes a lesbian.
No, that's Batwoman.
Batwoman. Batgirl. What she becomes is a cripple, because she gets shot by the Joker and has, in 10 months ago, got the use of her legs back, and we still don't know why.
Yeah, in the new 52, she can walk again.
Yeah, and so she became a cripple and a better character for it. Who knows what's going on now. If anyone knows, feel free to text in and let us know what you think. But she And then the Batwoman. Yeah, Batwoman is a lesbian.
Batwoman, she came out of
She's
5 years
She's an awesome lesbian.
She is a fantastic lesbian.
I think so. I mean, like, she would have, like, pinned... She would have been in the top. Like, in Bruce and Batwoman, she would be in the top. Like,
she
for sure.
Is if you're not reading the Batwoman comic...
You're missing out
get
badly.
Get onto the Bat... It's apps. It's drawn beautifully, and she is a hardcore... Awesome lesbian character. An awesome character who happens to be a lesbian. I should stress it more. Like, the lesbian's just one another element of a bloody brilliant character. Mm. And she's just dark and sexy and great.
She also happens to be a fabulous redhead.
Oh, yes. Really? Yes. That's actually a really good... I find that really attractive. I'm like, good, I'm going to get on that.
Well, like it is a wig, which I think is a bit of a throwback to Yvonne Craig, who played Batgirl in the series in 1960. Barbara Gordon would put on a wig and be Batgirl because that's what you do.
That's
so that no one could recognize you. So I think, in theory, that's a bit of a throwback to that.
Ah.
In theory. I've got no proof on that other than my opinion, but, when am I ever wrong?
Coming up in a little while, we've got a little bit of discussion about The Dark Knight and what's coming up in the future for Batman, and it's Batman Requiem?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight, I don't know where. I just made that up.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. We're here to keep you on track.
Exactly.
I had a dream once.
You were there, and you were there, and I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow.
And just quickly before we go, what are your favorite? Who are your favorite characters in the Batman series, Dean and Andy?
Comic series, television series, or movie series? You've got to narrow it for me.
You choose.
Okay, I'm going to do all three. In the television series, my favorite is Batgirl. I just love that she's in purple and yellow. In the movie series, my favorite character is Catwoman because I think Michelle just played her brilliantly. And in the comic books, my favorite character is the current Robin, Damian Wayne, a 10-year-old son of Batman who is just awesome and all kinds of great brilliantness, and I just love him.
Oh, what about you, Andy? Who's your favourite?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Dean on the comic book front. I think Damian Wayne is fantastic. Bruce Wayne is his dad, but Talia al Ghul is his mum. So, and that's Ra's al Ghul's daughter, and Ra's al Ghul's like one of Batman's original nemesis, and so he's like a cross between a villain and a hero. And then, as far as the movies go, Michael Keaton is Batman in '89 because he was the first Batman that I ever saw on screen, and I can't actually comment on the TV series because I've never actually seen it. Must be missing out. I know. You're going to have to fix that, aren't we?
Well, the problem is it's not out on DVD. If it was, it would make a fortune. I think it's something got to do with certain rights somewhere.
Oh, okay.
The movie is floating around on DVD that they made with the bat repellent. But what about you, Mitch?
I actually really like Robin. I'm a big fan of Robin. All round Robin.
Chris
O'Donnell is sexy. Yeah.
Hello. I'm like, oh, Robin.
Poor Sonya's not here to even out the...
I know, yeah.
We're just taking over with our masculinity.
The boys.
Or Catwoman. Only Eartha Kitt Catwoman.
She was wonderful. See, why did I say Michelle? Oh, no, it's still back because she wore purple. Back
too again. Late. Your answer
she
is...
She wore purple. I love purple.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy
94.9. The only way to be on Sci-Fi and Scream. Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. So quickly, before the end of the night, the dark, dark night. What can you guys tell me about the Dark Knight?
Back in 2008, Christian Bale, played the second installment in the Nolan trilogy, and we're coming up to The Dark Knight Rises on Friday.
It's the end of the trilogy of Christopher Nolan's.
It is, yes.
Batman movie trilogy-ness. I think you were saying it was set 8 years in the future.
It's 8 years from the end of The Dark Knight. So
there's actually a collection of trailers that all come together to give you one big trailer, and I can happily say I've avoided them all. Because I'm just looking forward to Thursday, going to IMAX, sitting there and watching it and loving every minute.
That's right.
I heard Batman hasn't spoken in the trailers because he mumbles a bit.
No, that's Bane, mate. That's Bane.
That's Bane.
He's the dude who breaks Batman's back.
When they originally showed it, he was too illegible, so they had to redo the audio in the chess screenings. But what I know, which is very little because I want to enjoy the film and not get bogged down by it all, we have Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. I don't know how I feel about that yet, to be truthfully honest.
I have to wait and see.
I have faith, and we'll see what happens. And we've got Bane as another villain.
Tom Hardy.
Yep, and there's also another character, which is, what's his name?
Gordon-Levitt plays a police officer.
He does. Well, we've been told it's a police officer. Who knows? Maybe he could be coming Robin.
Oh, my God.
It could be. There's rumors about it all. We just have to wait and see the film, really.
Yes.
But it closes the story off and looks fantastic. And better not let me down or else we'll have words.
I'm really excited about the Batmobile that can fly.
That I'm less excited about that.
Oh, really?
To be honest, I'm kind of like...
You're not believing the hype.
Well, no, it's just I look at the preview and go, this all looks really cool, but eh.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you for having us.
Cheers.
And thank you for Pete for listening. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Are you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.